In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Coming up is a podcast brought to you by the dedicated and diverse volunteers at 3CR. Just a quick message before you get there. For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au/donate and show your support for community-owned and community-run media. Thanks for your support and happy listening.
But you also had people that were very fine people.
Very fine people on both sides.
And the aliens would mind meld and give them the technology. They're bad aliens.
So
are you surprised the Nazis were influenced by demons?
No, if demons are real, I would definitely think they'd be on the side of the Nazis.
Yeah.
McDonald's is connected to the Clintons. They chop up the bodies and put them into the sausage and hamburgers. People are being cannibalized. Look it up.
And I'm watching CNN talk about this as violent white nationalist protests. We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful, you know?
It's Pepe has become kind of a symbol.
Welcome to Yeah Nah Passeran, a show about fascism and its gravediggers. I'm Cam Smith.
I'm Andy Fleming.
And this week we are joined by Jordana Silverstein to talk about the Royal Commission into Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion without landing us in a hit piece in Sky News, preferably. How are you, Jordy?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
I guess just to begin with, the Royal Commission has been going for a few weeks now. Has it been meeting your expectations?
Yes, we've had the first public hearing block. And we know that I think there's going to be a whole bunch more. We've had the interim report came out a few weeks ago, and the government has now given their response to that interim report and I think has accepted all of the recommendations. I think the expectations for the Royal Commission were pretty low. I think people were pretty sceptical of what it would be and what it would do. I think what I've been most interested by, or what's been most notable about the first hearing block, is the way that evidence is being presented, this category of lived experience that's being used, and the way that the witnesses are being encouraged to simply tell their story on their own terms without any kind of challenge, which I think raises really important questions about the category of lived experience. And I think then there's kinds of questions around testimony that certainly I've been working on for a long time and that many people have thought about for a long time. But then, yeah, how does it play out in a Royal Commission setting? What kinds of truths can be got at by a process that, yeah, just encourages people to tell their own story without any kind of context, any kind of probing, any testing of those stories?
One thing that strikes me is that there have been some truly horrific testimony at the Royal Commission, some quite nasty stuff, because there undoubtedly has been a rise in anti-Semitism, as there has been a rise in various other forms of racism too. But some of the testimony has been from people who there is a little bit more to their story. I'm thinking of people like Deborah Conway.
Yeah.
There were two sides to that story, and it's left it open for perhaps not bad actors, but people to dismiss a lot of the really quite bad stuff completely out of hand, because you do have this situation where you are only hearing a little bit of some of these stories.
I think that's exactly it. I think Deborah Conway is the really obvious example and, the really important example that holds, I think, for a lot of other people too. But this idea that we can just pretend that she and others are being excluded because they're Jewish rather than because of very appropriate and proper and quite normal political disagreements. It's a real problem. And I think another really good example of that I heard that kind of just raises this question of what don't we know about all of these situations that people are talking about was the principal of Bialik College, which is incidentally the high school I went to. I was particularly interested in his evidence. He wasn't the principal when I was there, but one of the examples he gave was that at school sports, a parent of a kid on the other team was wearing Palestine clothing and didn't specify exactly what this other parent was wearing, but it was something in solidarity with Palestine. And the principal said the only reason that this could have been done, sorry, if I remember correctly, and I hope I do, but what he was said is that the only reason this could be done was to antagonize the students of and parents of Bialik College, which is identifies as a secular Zionist school. So it's a Jewish Zionist school. So this kind of framing, this idea that everything that is done is antagonistic, it's really important for us to critique that. I have no idea who that other parent was. I have no idea why they wore it. They could have been Palestinian. They could have been Arab or Muslim. They could have been none of those things, a person who this is what they wear on a regular day. They could have also been a person who knew that their kid was playing against a Zionist school and they were worried about what was going to arise there. And this was something that they chose to wear, knowing that they were going into an environment that was Zionist. And that's really important, a Zionist environment, potentially, not a Jewish one. But instead, that's all left out, and only that really that fragment of the story is told through a particular viewpoint. And that's what was just happening over and over again, is that the very idea that Palestinians could be present, that Palestinians have knowledge, that Palestinians are actors and are humans, was being erased in so many of the testimonies. So most people, because there was no probing of these testimony, we don't really know what happened in any of these scenarios, and it absolutely leaves all of them open to questioning about what really was actually happening.
Geordie, the commission addresses both anti-Semitism and social cohesion. It appears that the RC has adopted the IRA definition as its guide, that is the IRA definition of anti-Semitism. The interim report makes numerous references to social cohesion, but the closest I can come to any kind of definition in that document is something to do with a national consensus in support of democracy, freedom, and the rule of law. What do you think is at stake, not only questions around the meaning and significance of anti-Semitism, but it being tied to social cohesion? Is this indicative of a broader vision on the part of the RC? What's contained within those concepts, do you think?
The Royal Commission, yeah, as you said, has said it will adopt is using the IHRA definition, a definition which a lot of people critique for its anti-Palestinian racism. It's interesting, the social cohesion-y bit that's tagged on to the end, and it does feel like it was tagged on to get the language past somebody without any concern for non-Jewish groups. There's no indication that the Royal Commission is going to be actively engaging with any other groups that faces racism. And so I think, as you say, like what actually is social cohesion? It's this kind of amorphous thing that is mostly used to just beat down Palestinians, Arabs, Muslims, and people who are in solidarity with them. So I think really that's it. Like this is about anti-Semitism, and it's about a very particular idea of what anti-Semitism is and how it operates. And what we have seen so far is that people who can speak to broader contexts and conditions, to broader Australian society, which really, what's most important here is the broader context of Australian settler coloniality, the racism that Indigenous people face here, that's all going to be excluded and not part of what is envisioned by social cohesion or anti-Semitism.
Geordie, also noticed that one group that is critical of the Royal Commission that's been able to intervene in the conduct of the hearings is the Jewish Council of Australia. And I happen to notice that their appearance and questioning was reported on SBS with the headline, "Anti-Semitism, Zionism and Israel, Royal Commission Hearings Take a Political Turn," which to me begged the question, in the absence of this JCA appearance, it could be read as meaning that the Royal Commission is an apolitical process. So I guess I'm asking, how do you conceive of the broad terms of the commission in a political sense in contemporary Australia?
That's really, I missed that heading, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think that also speaks to the way that this lived experience testimony is being treated and who is being able to give lived experience testimony. So the special envoy gave lived experience testimony and talked about her work as a special envoy, but that was counted as lived experience testimony. A whole range of people from a range of organisations and people who are connected to people who are in organisations. So it's, if you, when you're not in the Jewish community, you can't see all the links. There were significant numbers of people who looked like a sort of average person who had familial or work links to big organisations or big law firms. So and all of these people were able to give, quote, lived experience testimony, which I think speaks to this, exactly what you're saying, is this attempt to depoliticise it, to pretend that this is all, it's natural and normalised. It's, I would say, being positioned as beyond politics, that this is something that we're meant to all come together around, like this is a social cohesion. This is what we're meant to be focusing on, is this idea that it is not a set of political differences that is causing fragmentation, that is causing anger and causing division. It is not that there are people who oppose genocide and people who support genocide or people who are silent about genocide, and that these are very important political and ethical divisions that are opening up, but instead that this is, yeah, beyond politics. It's really a way of, it's never going to deal with any form of racism properly if you approach it like that. This is fundamentally not going to improve race relations in this country. And I think that's really important that this Royal Commission, its task isn't to do that. Its task is, yeah, something quite other than that. And it's about, yeah, creating hierarchies within society, about pitting people against each other. And about, so a lot of the people who gave this lived experience testimony, it was really interesting that they really platformed quite a number of people who were migrants to Australia, who would talk about, there were a few people from South Africa, but people from other countries as well, someone from France and from other places, and they would talk about how things were really racist in the countries that they'd come from. They, for some reason, visited Australia or they heard about Australia. They thought of Australia as this kind of haven from racism, a place where everybody got along, where Jews were safe. And then they came to Australia, migrated here with their families. And then this has all changed now. So it's this really settler colonial, deeply racist, like actually quite old school migrant narrative that you ask any historian of migration working in Australia, and they'll say that this is simply not the story of Australia, but that what it does is work to naturalise an idea of Australia as non-racist. So it's a settler colonial narrative being used in the service of furthering settler colonialism both in Australia and in occupied Palestine. So I think that really speaks to the way all these categories are working together to produce an idea that this isn't political. This is beyond politics. And then it's only those who critique who are the ones who are being political. Everybody else is just trying to get along.
People have their criticisms of Scotty from marketing, but Tourism Australia must have done something right if all these people were convinced that Australia was this anti-racist paradise.
It's true.
Geordie, the JCA had some representation at the Royal Commission, but I understand that the another group called the Loud Jew Collective was denied the opportunity to give witness testimony or to have witness status. What's going on there, do you think?
Yeah, so I should say, yeah, I'm a member of the Loud Jew Collective, and the Loud Jew Collective made a submission to the Royal Commission based on the testimony. The submission was put together by Annie Mokoto, who, as we speak, is being held in, has been abducted by Israel. She's on the flotilla And she's one of the people being held. We have had no word from her since she was abducted about 24 hours ago or so at this point when we're recording this. Yeah, hopefully she and all the flotilla people will, and all people imprisoned by Israel will be released very soon and very safely. So Larger Collective Medicine Mission by Annie, but attached to that was an expert report by myself in my role as I'm a historian. I work at the University of Melbourne and have a PhD in Australian Jewish history. And I'm one of a very small number, if potentially the only one who actively works in Australian Jewish studies who is anti-Zionist. So Larger Collective applied for leave to appear to the Royal Commission and was denied, and were told that, the response from the Royal Commission was that they couldn't see the relevance. Sorry, I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but there's a statement up on the Larger Collective Instagram and Facebook if people want to look at it with the exact wording. Yeah, being told that not relevant. And I suppose, in a sense, I wasn't my hunch beforehand had been that Larger Collective would be told there was no time, that it was all too busy and there wasn't space. So that wouldn't have surprised me. But I was taken aback that the Royal Commission would put in writing that Larger Collective it wasn't clearly relevant as to why Larger Collective would be there. It seems to me that by definition, a Royal Commission to Anti-Semitism, where there's an active call for all Jews to submit their experiences, by definition, every Jew is relevant to speak there, as well as, of course, Palestinians. And it's important to note that APAN, and I should say again, I'm on the board of APAN, but APAN was also refused leave to appear, which is also when Palestinians and the Palestine Solidarity Movement is being maligned throughout many testimonies, it seems to me to be relevant for APAN to appear, to be able to appear. It's interesting how the Royal Commission is, I should also say very clearly, I'm not speaking here in this interview on behalf of Larger Collective or APAN. I want that to be really clear. But it's interesting, that the Royal Commission is limiting itself so much, particularly when there was indeed time. They didn't have, in the second week of hearing Block 1, there were 2 days where they didn't sit at all and 1 day where they only had a short sitting. So there's plenty of time to get more testimony, and there's plenty of people who want to give testimony and want to give evidence. There are plenty of experts who could be called upon to give expert evidence that would help the Royal Commission in its task. So I think we do have to wait to see how it all plays out throughout the year and through the final report. But at the moment it does seem it's confusing, to say the least. Confusing on the one hand, and also just completely revealing of what we expected from this Royal Commission.
Geordie, the interim report makes, I think, 14 recommendations, 6 of which are not disclosed. They remain confidential and unknown to the public. All of them have been accepted by the government as appropriate, according to the government. But one thing that struck me reading through them is the recommendations are very much about state management and the distribution of funds to various counter-terror organisations and so on and so forth. So on that level, or at least as far as the interim report is concerned, the matter is very much, it seems on that basis, on initial readings, very much removed from the activities of everyday Australians. This is, in a sense, very much combating anti-Semitism through this prism is very much about what the state does as opposed to what other segments or sectors of society might do in response to this. I was wondering if you had any comments to make about what might constitute fighting anti-Semitism on the basis of popular organisations or something, and as something that is essentially a project of the state or the colonial settler state, let's say.
Yeah. I assume it'd be interesting to see what the broader recommendations are that come out. And I think, yeah, these first recommendations were very much around Bondi. But, yeah, they were terrible. So I think it's exactly it, that these security mechanisms, they will never lead to the end of anti-Semitism, right? That this is, as long as we live in a settler colony, there are going to be forms of racism. And the primary form of racism, as I said before, is directed at Indigenous people. And then race relations and racial structures stem out from there. And this is an argument I've made elsewhere, is that I summarise as there can be no justice at the border under settler colonialism. We need to fundamentally deal with that, and that is not something that government can deal with because government is settler colonial. So the resolutions to racism absolutely will not come from government. There is no hope to be found there. There is no justice or liberation or equality to be found there. And if on the left, yeah, we absolutely, right. And I think this in a way, like there are some people who are incredibly opposed to any kind of participation in the Royal Commission. And I'm deeply ambivalent about participation in it. And for a variety of reasons, thought that there was some utility in it, whether that's in the present moment or in for the future. I guess as a historian who at one point was thinking about doing a project around histories of royal commissions, to think about them as a technique of government, I think there's something of interest, political interest and historical interest in what they do and what is said within them. But I think that ambivalence is important when in any kind of interaction with any kind of government system. It's, yeah, holding the ambivalence while fighting desperately in coalitions outside government and outside the state and outside where the state has its power.
There was, in terms of the, I guess, nature, meaning, significance of anti-Semitism, there was discussion by Dave Rich, a British scholar, historian, and there was some, I think, contention between his support for the IHRA definition and something else known as the Jerusalem Declaration, which was proffered as a better alternative to that which was being employed by the commission. The IHRA has been seemingly adopted by the Australian government, or at least that's the aim, to incorporate it into a whole range across government approach, which is going to have effects. It was also reported this week that the ABC and SBS have decided that they won't be agreeing to this project. They are confident that their own existing policies on limiting or manners of reporting racism and so on doesn't require it. Geordie, what do you think is the kind of political purpose of the adoption of the IHRA? It seems to be have met with acceptance by government. There is some dissent, but in general, it seems like this is something that will be incorporated into government policies with effects that are going to be felt for some years to come. I'm just wondering if you have any commentary on the definition and whether or not this declaration, the Jerusalem Declaration, provides a better alternative, or is it the case that maybe the Royal Commission isn't the place to conclude these matters? What are your general thoughts on this subject?
Yeah, so if listeners can take away one thing from what I'm saying right now, is that all of the existing definitions of anti-Semitism are bad and should not be used. And I know that there are some people who suggest the Jerusalem Declaration as a good alternative. It is not. It should not be used. It should not be seen as a progressive alternative. And I desperately want people to not use any of these definitions. So it's the IHRA, the Jerusalem Declaration. There's now the Universities Australia definition. And there's one other, that's the Nexus or something definition. But they're all bad. They, in different ways and different emphases and with different wording, but they all instantiate anti-Palestinian racism. They all are overly focused on what is said about Israel and about Zionism. They all prioritize Jews above other groups. No other group in society has this proliferation of definitions of what they are and what a discrimination or racism against them looks like. So these definitions, in their essence, are aimed at separating Jews out, at pitting different groups against each other. And so all these definitions need to be avoided. So I find that quite often people will be like, we need to give an alternative to show that we're serious or to show that there's another way of doing it. But the other way of doing it is to not segment off Jews from other groups. And I really desperately want people to hold the line on that. I think it's a really easy line to hold and it's really important. And there's a whole group of us of Jews and Palestinians and others who have been thinking and working around this for years together now. And that's really a position that we've come to from a lot of thinking and strategizing about it, is that none of these definitions are good and all of them must be opposed. What we need is a general anti-racist approach that is grounded in Aboriginal sovereignty. That is what is appropriate for the conditions that exist in Australia. Anytime you're diverting from that, you're furthering settler colonialism. You're furthering the exceptionalization of Jews. And those are bad things to be doing. We need, anti-racist approaches grounded in Aboriginal sovereignty. That's how it should be dealt with. The Royal Commission, is not the place to deal with it because it simply can't. Government absolutely is trying to push this out in all sectors of society, including through government money that is being given out in grants of all different kinds, but particularly in universities. Universities are being pressured to adopt definitions, and we had the university scorecard released the other day of anti-Semitism at universities, and every university failed, apparently, according to the special envoy. So, it was great to see the ABC and SBS say they're going to refuse, and I hope more institutions and more organisations push back against this. And acknowledge, we have policies and laws already. None of them are sufficient, but this is the realm which we need to be working rather than exceptionalising one group in this settler colonial way.
Well, Jordy, we will leave it there. If people want to find you, your work online, they can look up Dr. Jordana Silverstein. Hopefully the conservative media's dedication to ignoring the voices of anti-Zionist Jews keeps us out of the papers. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for all your work.
Andy, we'll be back next week. See you later.
We will. See you then.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the apartheid-free zone movement.
Kefirs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white kefir to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to kefirs.org.au. That's kufiyas.org.au. A 3CR supporter.